Welcome to another episode of At the Table with Patrick Lencioni, where everything we talk about is related to changing the world of work so that more organizations can be more effective and less dysfunctional, and employees can be more fulfilled and less miserable. I'm here with Cody Thompson, my co-host. How you doing, Cody?
Doing great.
We've got Tracy on mic today, our producer.
Hey there.
And we've got trusty Matthew Lencioni, our engineer. And Cody, what's the title going to be today?
The official title is Rethink Your Vacation.
Right. But Matt, you had a title you thought would be good. What was it?
Thanksgiving sucks.
we almost went with it.
We were so close to going with that. Of course, Thanksgiving doesn't suck.
A little too dark.
Yes. Although sometimes, you know, holidays can be kind of crummy. And that's not what this is about. But what it is about is how do we integrate our work into vacation?
Right.
I mean, because this is a podcast about organizational life and everything having to do with work. And now we're getting ready to go on Thanksgiving vacation. There'll be Christmas vacation and other vacations. And granted, we are in the middle of COVID and it's crazy. So a lot of us are staying home. Mm-hmm. The government is telling us not to travel, but many people are still going to be traveling carefully, hopefully. But the point here is, what does work, how do we integrate that into our vacation? And I don't mean by getting work done. I mean, where does our work life fit into the experience of leaving and doing other things? Now, we think about rethinking vacation because that word vacation is such an interesting one. Vacate. That it used to be like leave, get out of here, mm-hmm. leave everything else behind. Well, the world doesn't work like that anymore. It used to be you worked at a factory and you were done. You had 2 weeks to go to wherever you went and not think about work and then go back to the drudgery of it. Mm-hmm. Well, in a world where we do a lot of thinking work and we integrate our work lives and our family lives, and where we're working from home, especially now, how do you deal with that when you go on vacation, whether you're traveling or you're still at home? Well, the wrong way to look at it, I think, is to separate it completely. Mm-hmm. I actually think our work lives, unless you hate your job so miserably that it's something you just want to leave behind, I think this is a time to think differently about work and use it to make this time of rest and separation more productive as a person and even as an employee or a leader or whatever else you do. So what I think that should include is things like talking to people that you're meeting with over the holidays about what you do and why you like it and asking them for their perspectives on what you do, getting ideas from people who don't do what you do that might be really helpful. Mm-hmm. I used to get driven crazy by going to vacations and having no one in my extended family ask me anything about work. It was as though a huge part of who I was, not the most important part, I wasn't obsessed with work, but a big part of who I was had no relevance to them or for 2 weeks of sitting in a house right. and watching football and eating turkey.
Right.
And I thought, this is stupid. The other thing I think we need to do is we need to spend time pondering our work. And this yes. is a great time to do that.
Yes.
So I just put those ideas out there. Cody, Tracy, how do we integrate in a different world, both because of COVID and because of the way we work, our work into our vacation lives?
Well, I find it interesting just on the face of it. When you say that, I bet the internal visceral response from people is like, no. We're not supposed to do that, right? We're not supposed to bring that
protect.
Home.
Protect.
But it right. actually makes sense when we talk about our philosophy as a whole. It's like you as an integrated person. We talk so much about bringing your whole self to work, mm-hmm. like bringing your, we've talked about, we don't have work friends. We bring our lives into this arena. But why then would you not take this 8 hours a day of what you're doing and integrate that into some of your home life? You know, like it actually makes sense from like a philosophical standpoint of how we talk about people and human beings. And so it's interesting. How do we do that? I think that you mentioned that there are some people where work is drudgery and misery. And for those people, there's no sense in bringing that home right, and sure. making that a part of your life. But you when you say, let's talk about it, I think there's this, that typically the conversations around the holidays that are most bothersome to me are like the really superficial ones, which is like, hey, how's the weather where you live? Or what, you know, what have you been up to? It's like, I don't want to talk about that. But if you're genuinely interested in the person that's sitting across from you, we just had a friend at a dinner table that we had, and he's a friend I've mentioned about on this podcast. They own gyms. And I was like, I couldn't wait to sit down and talk to him. I was like, how is your life going? Like, what is right. going on?
in your work.
And what's going on in work, and they have this other business. And when you show genuine interest, people would love to share that stuff. It's really when you just answer the question like, how's work? And they go, well, you're busy. And then they go, oh, okay.
That's right.
You're busy. We're all busy. And then we move on.
You know, work, same old, same old.
Yeah.
It's so healthy to process with your loved ones.
Yeah.
It's and similarly, we do that here at work. We process our family lives here at work. So why not process your work life with your family? I know my family loves when I do this.
Well, and it's funny. We've recently found, like, I remember you were telling Greg, your husband, how he's been so interested in what we've been
doing. Absolutely.
And how awesome is that?
Oh, it's so fun for him.
I've got Matthew working here and Connor's doing some work too. And it's like, I love that they know what I do. And Lindsay stops by the office and we get to figure that out. So the point is, why do we think that's not right? Here's the other thing. It just occurred to me. We send out those Christmas letters and those Christmas pictures, and we'll put things like, so-and-so is doing this. We almost never talk about work at all.
Yeah.
We spend like 9 or 10 hours a day doing something. And it's like, well, Billy went to a lacrosse tournament and scored a goal. And that's wonderful and all. But half the time we're like, okay, we don't need to hear that. But we don't go, hey, Bob came up with a new product at work today. Or he, you know, it's just so funny that we think that work has no place in personal lives and in our extended family and during vacation.
Totally. And I will say that, I mean, first of all, there's probably no one in my personal life who hasn't heard about what I've been working on, Working Genius. I just tell everybody that. So
yeah.
I'm actually looking forward for some new people to be around the table to talk about that with. But if you show genuine interest to your uncle, your aunt, your brother, your sister to say, I mean, maybe I'm unique this way, but I was just on the phone yesterday with this guy who called in, who is using Working Genius in his company.
The trampoline king.
And we're talking, and he started a trampoline company, and his name's Steve. He was great. Him and his VP, Mike, were on the phone. It was fantastic. And I halfway through the conversation, I was like, hey, listen, I'm just so curious. What happened 17 years ago that made you get into the trampoline business? And the genuine curiosity is the thing. I think that the reason people don't like talking about work is because it's never that genuine. It's always just like, how is it? And then it's a superficial answer and you just move on.
You know, when I think about when I go to vacation, brother-in-laws and other family members and friends, I'm fascinated by what they do. It's not like, so tell me what you do, Bob. And let's like, you know, how much money do you make? Look at my car. It's just like, what's it like doing what you do?
Yeah.
And even the most obscure, like I have a brother-in-law who is in the commercial laser business. Now I'm not a technical guy. It's super technical. It's all industrial stuff. But I love to find out what is it like where you work and what's it like, what's management like, and how do you use the products? That's actually a big part of his life.
Yeah.
Sure.
You know what is interesting? So about 2 years ago, I was in a car with four friends and we were on a long road trip and we'd played this game, which was fascinating. We've known each other for almost everyone in the car more than 12 years, except for one guy. And what we played this game where we went around and we tried to accurately say what the other people do for their job. You know, like, you know where people work, you know the company, but we said like, we tried to say, here's what I think you do on a day-to-day basis. And they would tell us like how accurate it was. And nobody got more than like 65 or 70% because we just don't know. You can say like, oh, I'm an analyst at XYZ company, but to know what they do. And if you just show genuine interest, I mean, I just genuinely think that if you're sitting across the table with your family and you show interest, it's going to be a way more interesting conversation.
Sure. Yeah. Karen, a friend of mine, is so funny because she talks about, and her mom, God bless her, she's older. And when she introduces her daughter, she says, this is Karen. She works in an office.
Right.
And it's like, and when they're together on vacation, she just doesn't ask her a lot of questions. Like, so exactly what are you responsible for? And she does fascinating, interesting things. Like, she works in an office. Man, vacations are kind of miserable when you know nobody really is interested in what I do, what I'm curious about right now, how I might be adding value to someone in the world.
Right.
So what do you think, why do we have these artificial boundaries? Like, why don't you think we go deep with people around this kind of stuff?
I think it's odd. Because the old legacy was work was supposed to be miserable. And so why would you talk about it? So I think it's like a historical thing. Yeah. And I think the other reason why is, well, heck, I don't know. I mean, like, maybe the people that are really miserable in their jobs don't want to hear about other people's jobs that are interesting. So we don't want to offend them. Mm. But heck, I would love to talk to them about how to find a new job.
Right.
That's true.
and say, let's talk about what you're good at. I mean, I do that for fun, like career. And that's something we ought to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I definitely think that there is that mentality that sort of like that was passed down from a generation ago, which is like, work is drudgery. We just go there. Anytime you cannot work is the best. You know, like the idea of working for the weekend so that you don't have to think or talk about work, or working for a vacation, or working for retirement. That's sort of this legacy understanding of work. And I think there is this new, and I love that we get to position our company and our products and services in this movement around like, that doesn't have to be that way. Like people can be fulfilled in their job. I think we're meant to work. So why wouldn't we want to tell people about how my unique thought process or skills or ability is helping contribute to my company?
And you know, the people listening to this podcast, and by the way, we're very thankful for you on Thanksgiving. We're thankful to God for you because we love hearing from you. We love being able to be part of your lives, even across the airwaves or whatever else. But you're probably, the people listening to this are interested in work in general. Take that to others. Infect them with that sense that, no, this is actually a part of who you are, and help them find meaning in it. Our last podcast, we talked about, why do you work? If you could talk to somebody, they go, well, I do this. And it's like, well, tell me who uses your product and what do you do? You must be important to them. And I think people just need to be reminded.
Right. Or even using some of the stuff, like you said, we talk about on this podcast, like challenging people to answer those questions. What's your purpose? You know, I will tell one story real quick. We're going to tell some more, but after our last podcast, when we talk about why do you work? And I told that story about my daughter and the garbage man.
Right.
We got an email from Stuart Gibb, who is actually a Kappa Pro member. So he's in our Kappa Pro.
This was the best email.
Yeah, he was great. And Stuart's emailed in on a number of occasions. He's a wonderful guy. And he told a story about how his dad actually started a garbage and recycling company, and that he and his friends like got hired. They drove the trucks, you know, but when he was young, he talked about how he had a little bit of, you know, it was tricky being the garbage man's son.
People go, yeah, your dad's a garbage man.
Exactly. But then he talked about how great it was to listen to music in his dad's truck and ride with him on some of the routes. And then he tells the story at the end, like there were a number of kids that would come out and like wave and smile and laugh, and that that his dad would honk for, that made all the difference in the world to his satisfaction in his job. And it was just fun because I had just shared that story about Quinn. And then the very next day, we recorded on a Monday and our garbage man comes on Tuesday, right? So the next morning I actually went out with Quinn and I was filming a video because I wanted to show you guys in the office, like, oh, you should see how Quinn reacts. And the garbage man came down and it wasn't the guy that loves his job. It was a different one. And he waved and then just drove past. And my daughter was like, he didn't honk, you know, and she was like visibly upset. So thank you, Stuart, for writing in. But that's the sort of thing, is like, challenge people.
And you know, why do you work? Think about this. If you were at Thanksgiving and somebody said, I said, what do you do? And they're like, I drive a garbage truck, and they're probably not going to be bright. And they go, I mean, I would have a million questions.
Oh yeah.
So tell me, how early do you have to do that? What's the hardest thing you deal with? How do people treat you on your route?
Yeah.
Like Stuart told a story in there, how he'd have to wrap his legs in cellophane because when they dove into a dumpster to get things out, so mice wouldn't crawl up there. That is totally cool. And just be interested in other people's work.
Totally.
And because people need to realize it matters. When we don't talk about it, it's like, well, I guess that's a waste of my time when I go back to work.
Yeah. You're even signaling, like when you don't, when somebody asks you and your answer is, oh, it's been busy or whatever, it signals that it's not important. It's like, sends a message out there like, don't pry, don't go any deeper. I don't want to talk about this.
Absolutely. You know, and that brings me to something. We're going to do a commercial. Matt told us, like, maybe we should just tell people, like, because we hate commercials, we hate selling things. We're going to do a full-on commercial right now. And it's related to where you are. So you're on vacation, you're around family and extended family or friends, or maybe even on a Zoom call, you can do this. We have a product for you to use, which is more fun than playing Scrabble. And that is the 6 types of working genius. Now, this sounds like just an ad, but it really is true. What an amazing thing that you could have your relatives or your friends or whoever you're with, your parents, do this assessment. And it's going to tell you like the 2 things that they get energy and joy from and that they're great at work or at home or in any kind of activity. And it's going to tell you the things they hate doing. It is such a rich conversation when you talk about this. And people go, oh yeah, growing up, remember when we used to do that? You were awesome at that, Mom. Or, oh gosh, no wonder you hated when we had to do that. And it helps you appreciate one another It helps you understand like where you're successful. It helps, you're going to help your cousin realize you need to shift your job so you can use your geniuses.
Yeah.
And so it's for 12 and a half bucks, you can have fun for an entire evening.
That's right. But make sure you use the at the table code.
Yeah. When you buy this, yes, and you can do it on Thanksgiving, on the very day while you're bored, everybody wants to watch football, and you can go to the other room with your cousin and you can go, here, fill this out. It's 12 and a half bucks. And when you go in and do it at workinggenius.com, type in capital letters at the table. And it's only $12.50. It's usually $25. And in fact, the essence of this commercial is we want to tell you what some of the 20,000 people, we've already had 20,000 people Crazy. Do this assessment in less than a month.
Yep.
Yeah.
And the response we've been getting back has been great. And so much to his chagrin, we're going to have Matthew, our engineer, and one of the people who helped develop this tool, tell us what some of the users have said about it.
So we've received a lot of testimonials since we launched the product, but I just have two that I wanted to share from some of our podcast listeners. Louise Hayes, who's run three of her leadership teams at her company through the Working Genius Assessment, said that the insights into team dynamics and some of the challenges they've been facing are amazing. She said that the Working Genius has facilitated great self-reflection for their leaders in where their strengths lie versus where they're spending most of their time. Mark Stuckey, another podcast listener, said that the tool has reframed his entire perception of his group's value to his school and their effectiveness as a team. He's a teacher. And he said it's shown exactly where they're weak and what type of people they can look to for help moving their initiatives further. So thank you, Louise and Mark. We're glad you're using our product the way we intended.
Way to go, Matt.
Thank you, Matt. Matt did not want to speak on here. We made him do it.
He had a frown the whole time.
That's right. So these are the things people are saying about this. We've had people call and say, I never understood that I had a genius and a talent, because people never knew why I was doing what I did. One guy said, I've always said, why we do this? Why do we do this? Because he had the genius of wonder. And he goes, now I realize it was a gift. And now I'm using it at work. And it's gone from being something that I thought was a weakness to something that's a strength totally. That I'm appreciated for.
Yeah, I got one email recently that said, this was the most insightful assessment in my 25-year career. So we're not saying this is to be braggadocious or anything. This is genuinely like, we couldn't have even imagined that this many people would benefit from this quickly. I'm going to be telling everyone at my Thanksgiving table about it. And I might bring a whiteboard in there just to really make it drive it home. But, this is not a like, how do we fit this in? This is like, genuinely, I think this would stir up some fantastic conversations around a table that would be super meaningful, that people would leave those homes and those tables like with more clarity about what they're great at and how to organize their work life.
And allow people to appreciate each other and to be thankful for one another and for the gifts that God gave them in their life. What a great gift that would be to help people do that. Okay, so now what we're going to do is we're going to shift away from vacation and from the most fun you can have on vacation, the six types of working genius, to some of the hero stories that you guys have sent us.
That's right.
Because when we talked about work heroes, you guys told us some fantastic stories. There were so many of them, it took us a while to go through them. Cody, you've got some that you're going to share with us.
Yeah, and I'm going to caveat this all up front by saying, like, I just tried to digest these long, nuanced, incredible stories down to something that we could tell on the podcast. So the detail and the the moments in these are way more significant than I'm going to do justice for. But we got some incredible stories. A couple that I wanted to share were actually, so we received a two-part account, actually. A guy named Phil Cohen, who founded the Architectural Woodwork Company in 2006. And he tells a story, and then he actually loops in a colleague of his to say, hey, I want him to tell his side of the story. But essentially, cool. And Phil, you sent me a little intro to a book that you said you might get published. I think you should do it. So go for it.
Does he have a title for that book?
It didn't say. Well, first of all, I have like 1,000 papers in front of me.
Write that book. Plant that tree, Phil. Yes. Plant that tree. Yep.
But essentially, it's this. The intro is called Hiring People Like Me. And I'm going to distill it down to this. Basically, he gets asked all the time that I hear you have an amazing program for hiring former drug addicts and people right out of prison. And he stops people right there and says, we have no program. What he says is, I was one of those people and no one would hire me. And so what I did is, and he got fired from multiple jobs. He started a company just for former misfits and only hires them.
That's fantastic.
Says, people used to not hire me, used to not want to work with me. Now I hire only people who are like me. And so they, and he's created this culture that Rob, his coworker, also attested to, that they've had incredibly difficult conversations, and really it seems like they have a ton of clarity around what they want and their values. So again, I'm trying to distill it down, but they decided that they had to really focus on the culture, and there was a couple problems in the culture, a couple people that didn't carry their values very well. And Phil says that he kind of coined this idea that, hey, your attitude can't stay. You can stay.
I love that.
But your attitude is fired. So if you decide to keep your attitude, then you've got to go with it. And so he and Rob sort of collectively tell this account of one of their employees that didn't have a good attitude, that struggled with drug use and kind of was constantly defensive and all this. And they went in and had that conversation and said, hey, very lovingly, prayed before they went in there and said, hey, your attitude has to go. You can stay if you want, but not your attitude. And he eventually left tearfully. And then years later, came back and reintegrated into the community with a totally different attitude and is now one of their high performers. So just,
you know,
incredibly heroic stuff.
Phil doesn't wear a cape.
Right.
That's a hero. Now, not only a hero for starting a company that gave people redemption or second chance, but for having the courage to confront somebody. And it's so easy to go, well, that guy's had a tough life. I shouldn't do that. He knew the best way to help that guy was to do something hard.
Mm-hmm.
And what a great ending. That's heroism.
It totally is. And I'll just say again up front, like the amount of stories that we got. First of all, it's kind of crazy to me that we ask people to send stories and then they flood us with stories.
Yeah.
You know, like
thank you.
Yes, seriously. It's incredible. It's still very humbling that there are so many people that listen to this podcast and that respond to what we say. So thank you. Phil, Rob, that was fantastic. I don't know what area the architectural woodworking company is in, but everybody should Google it. Any way we can support them, we should. And then I got this other great email. I got multiple. Another one I wanted to highlight that Allison wrote in, and she said, essentially, I'll distill this one down. She listened to our podcast. Her and a friend of hers listen to our podcast every week and they discuss.
I love that.
What she said was she listened to this one early in the morning and she knew that her friend doesn't listen till the end of the week. And she texted her and said, right away, you should listen to this and let's hold each other accountable to being humble heroes at work. And she was just encouraged by the idea that like, this isn't supposed to be easy, that sometimes it doesn't work out. And so she emailed her friend, they listened together, they established a strong, encouraging personal relationship and said, we're going to hold each other accountable for this. That very day, she went into a meeting at her company and her friend, Allison's friend, and she stood in the fray, like in this very moment, where she had to give difficult feedback about an employee.
Right.
And did it humbly. That they, again, prayed beforehand. This is not a prerequisite.
They could get fired for this.
Yes. And she said she saw a window in that meeting. She took it. It was well received. And then later that day, the founder affirmed how valuable it was for her to bring that up in the meeting. You know,
sometimes heroism gets rewarded right away. You don't always suffer for being a hero.
No.
But you have to be willing to risk it. And they knew they were. I wish we could have the drama of that when she's sitting there in that meeting and the founder says this thing and opens it up and she stands up and says, I think there's a problem and I have to speak up.
Yep.
At that moment, she doesn't know. I could get fired. I could just get rejected. And it wasn't until later that day that the founder came in and said, thank you for doing something for the company.
And I don't know if Allison said this to her friend, but she said, as an aside, this woman is fairly young in her career, yet leads in a way I haven't seen in executives 30 years her senior. She personifies humble, hungry, and smart. So, So what I loved about this too was that I do think that there's this, not only when we said like, hey, there aren't enough stories in there, there aren't enough people like Allison and her friend who will hold each other accountable to do that, to actually say, hey, you have to be the one that does this. We need to be people in the workplace that do heroic things like this. Right. So wonderful. I mean, I have like 10 more papers here, but that's as much as I can synthesize.
I love that. Now, by the way, she didn't say, hey, you go be a hero and let me know how it goes.
Right.
I talked to a guy yesterday who somebody tried to do it. He goes, oh no, I'll die with you, but not for you while you're standing 10 feet behind me. Right. And so we have to go together and say, I'll be with you for that. There are so many workplace hero stories. And again, one day there's going to be a show on TV about that.
Well, that leads to one final thing. Another one that I didn't tell, but it's Stuart. Actually, the same Stuart with the garbage man story told us that he actually loved the concept. When Pat said that he commented about there being a hero TV show, he started a company. His company name is Great Manager Project. And his end goal is to have a van sort of outfitted to go around the country and capture stories of managers doing heroic things and then tell those stories. So it was right in line with what Stuart had in mind. And then we've got all these stories. So Stuart, if you need some leads about where to drive your van, let me know. I got a number of emails.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Hey, and you know, when you're on vacation, tell people about these great, celebrate times that you've seen people be great leaders. Mm-hmm. It's fun. People want to hear about this stuff. It's better than mincemeat pie, I tell you. I'm not even sure what mincemeat is, but right. I tend not to eat it. All right. Thank you for joining us. You're on vacation. Be thankful. And we are thankful for you. And we will look forward to our next show next week. Until then, God bless you.